Professor Miller, welcome again to SBS Radio's Armenian program.
Good morning, Vahe.
Last month, we spoke about your heritage and link to Ivan Ivasovsky. After our interview, the Armenian media worldwide reported about your trip to Crimea. So could you tell me about your trip?
Yes, I can. Yeah, when we last talked, I described my relationship with the famous Russian painter Ivan Ivasovsky. My grandmother was his great-granddaughter, and July the 29th was the 200th anniversary of his birth in the Crimean town of Feodosia to Armenian parents. About 2 years ago, my cousin Amanda contacted me after she'd heard that the Tretyakov were doing an Ivasovsky exhibition. That exhibition commenced on the 29th of July last year so that Russians, particularly in Moscow, could see all his paintings without affecting the bicentennial celebrations of any of the museums, galleries or towns that were holding his work. In fact, that exhibition was the eighth most visited in 2016, with more than 600,000 visitors. I said to her that I hadn't planned to go and see the exhibition, and I don't remember whether it was I who suggested it or Amanda, but together we decided that we should be in Feodosia for that anniversary. This was a brave decision because Crimea is currently listed as a dangerous place to visit by DFAT because it's disputed territory between Russia and the Ukraine. But speaking pragmatically, the only way to get to the Ukraine for the 29th of July this year was to get a visa to Russia and travel via a Russian city, which had connections with the Crimea. In fact, we discovered there were 240 flights a day into Simferopol from other Russian cities, which makes it an exceptionally busy airport. So we contacted many of the family to see about whether they wanted to join us, and eventually there were 10 family members who were keen, and we started to navigate the somewhat unusual Russian visa process. You know, their website's a bit long, and after filling it in four or five times, fortunately, it becomes logical and easy. Big difference for people travelling to Russia is the requirement for an invitation to visit. And once you've got that, the difficulty is working out where to put the identifiers you need. Fortunately, my son Evan is a travel agent with Flight Centre, and he arranged all the flights, the hotels, and the stopover. And most of us travelled through Tokyo to Moscow, which gave us 2 9-hour flights that split up the pain. So what I didn't talk about last time was that when you broadcast the first interview, we'd already arrived in Russia. We spent 4 days in Moscow, 3 days in Feodosia, and then another 4 days in St. Petersburg.
So 10 members travelled from Australia?
Yes, yes. So the trip was undertaken by three grandchildren of Varvara Lampsy, who was Ivasovsky's relative that came to Australia. Varva had two children, an elder girl, Sultana, and a son, Dmitry. So two of Sultana's four children travelled, Andrew, that's me, and Celeste. Celeste's two children, Luke and Claire, travelled with her. My wife, Alison, my eldest son, Evan, and my eldest daughter, Alexis, travelled with me. One of Dmitry's six children travelled, that was Amanda, along with her daughter, Georgia, and her niece, Frederica. So that's the 10 in total.
Could you talk about some of the highlights and memorable events?
Yeah. The expectation of the senior family member going to Russia was that the minimum requirement, what we wanted to do, was that we would stand by Ivasovsky's grave on the 29th of July and pay homage to him, and that we would see the paintings in the gallery, which was his home previously. We achieved that, but we also achieved so much more, and we returned with a greater appreciation of and respect for our ancestor. In fact, every institution we visited, we were accorded respect as the family of Ivasovsky and had tours and experiences which were not there for the general public. In Moscow, in the first part, we attended a family do in Pushkina, north of Moscow. We visited the Armenian Cathedral, the Tretyakov Gallery, the Red Square. We discovered Uzbeki food and spent a little time at the Creepy Markets. The Creepy Markets is my son's name for the Russian Cultural Center at Partizanskaya, where you can actually buy an AK-47 if the market's in full swing. We arrived in Simferopol to the highlights of the Simferopol Armenians, then the Simferopol Memorial to the Ivasovsky brothers, Driving the Crimean roads was a highlight. There was the pleasure of the Feodosia town, which was a quiet and a holiday environment. The excitement of visiting the Feodosia Gallery, the solemn memorial at St. Sarkis Armenian Apostolic Church, the unexpected Artsulov Museum we found, being able to purchase first day covers at the post office, and a day visit to Yalta, which included the Vorontsov Palace and the Levadia Palace. When we came to St. Petersburg, the highlights were the Russian Museum with its television interviews, the exhibition at the Central Naval Museum, the experience of the Hermitage, the surprise Iverzovskis at the spectacular Fabergé Museum, the calming experience of the Russian cooking lessons, and finding the replica of the Medal of St. Alexander Nevsky.
Hmm. And tell us about the meeting in Moscow with the Armenian Archbishop.
This meeting occurred on our second day in Russia. Our relative Irina, who works in Armenia for a Russian agency, contacted the Armenian Apostolic Church, and a visit was arranged in Moscow to meet His Eminence Archbishop Esdras Erisayan, who's the, and I'll try, I may get this wrong, the primate of the new Nachivian and Russian Diocese of the Armenian Apostolic Church, and we met him at the cathedral. Now, the journey started with some frustration as we were supposed to leave from the hotel at 10 a.m., but since we finished our morning touring in the Red Square, some of the people who went made the decision just to meet at the Red Square and do their own thing beforehand. But as Murphy's Law would have it, everything was okay, except that we didn't show up at the people didn't show up at the Red Square on time, and lunch was skipped. So Irina hadn't been to the cathedral before, so there was a bit of stop and start to the journey as we would get to a particular place, and then she would ring up somebody at the cathedral to find out which way we were to turn and which way we were to walk. But if you weren't agitated by a seemingly unguided path that you were following, the time was well spent walking and talking and getting to know family members you hadn't spent much time with. So we arrived about 30 minutes early, which allowed us time for a toilet stop and a cool-off. And then at 2 o'clock, as promised, Archbishop Ezra exited the building and started to meet people in the quadrangle of the cathedral, and came and met our family. He invited us to enter the cathedral and light a candle in Iverzovsky's memory, and to hear of the construction of the cathedral, which is relatively new. The outside of the cathedral is made up of Armenian tuff, which is a volcanic stone, and inside is lined by stones from nations where Armenians are resident. The cathedral tour ended with a group photo at the altar, and then we progressed to his office, where he showed us his relics and artworks that had been donated to the cathedral. And there, sitting over on the side wall, was his Iverzovsky. And we were quite surprised that he actually had one. It was a small 1858 water scene with a sailboat, as many Iverzovsky's paintings were. But it was in excellent condition, and it was really good to see something like that up close. In fact, there's a picture of me with my short-sighted eyes looking at it on the internet. After that, we toured through the building. We stopped at murals in the building that celebrates St. Gregory, the genocide martyrs, and the Battle of Avaraya. Is that correct?
Yes, Avaraya.
Yep. The interpreter unfortunately stumbled on the Archbishop's words, which subsequently I've learnt by reading meant something like, death in battle becomes eternal life through service to Jesus. Basically, if you go to battle for Jesus, then that means eternal life. And that was because they knew they were against overwhelming odds. Finally, we were feeling weak from lack of food, and Archbishop Esdras invited us up to the Iverzovsky room for some food. Unfortunately, that only housed replicas, not originals. But the room had four tables which were covered with Armenian food. I don't know what it is about the preparation or the produce, but it all tasted far better than we have here in Australia. And to top things off, there was an adequate supply of Armenian cognac and Grey Goose vodka. We were given presents of model pomegranates, mosaics, and books. In fact, we ended up with 20.1 kilos of books on the way back. So this was the first view we had of the status of Iverzovsky among the Armenian people. And I think over the time we came to learn that there are three views of Ivazovsky. There's the Armenian view, there's the Feodosia view, and there's a Russian view. And in each of those, he's venerated for different reasons. The Russian view seems to stem from his art and his position in Russian society, being of the order of St. Alexander Nevsky. That order is the highest civilian order you can attain without being a member of the Tsar's family. The Feodosian view stems from the many philanthropic works that he undertook, which incidentally were quite substantial, and we'll talk about those afterwards. But Feodosia was by and large the beneficiary of many of those acts. And then there's the Armenian view, which seems to derive from a sense that, you know, one of our brothers did all this and more, and we're really proud of him. Not only that, but he supported his brother in service to the Armenians. And I believe that I read that on one of his trips to Constantinople in the 1890s, while visiting the Ottoman palace, he actually confronted the Sultan about the ongoing Armenian genocide that was occurring at that particular point in time, because there were two forms of the genocide, a smaller one in the 1890s and then the larger one in 1915.